Welcome to Distill the Bourbon Podcast, where we drink bourbon, or in this case, rye, and talk about it. I'm Brent, and I'm here with my co-hosts Brian, Chuck, and Aaron. Welcome back to the turret, guys.
Always good to be here.
Glad Love to be back.
Being here.
Doing something a little different today. We're going down the rye road.
So I think rye has really had a resurgence in the last, certainly 5 years, maybe 10 years. I'm not so sure that rye didn't precede bourbon as an American whiskey.
It absolutely did. It was first distilled in the 1750s, and it came from the forefathers coming over from Europe. Rye was actually used first in the 18th century in Scotland as one of their early grains to make scotch. So those people were used to drinking rye, and it grew really, really well in Eastern, Middle Eastern.
And you don't have to impress us anymore. You're part of the team, okay? Yeah. You're on board. So
he's still selling himself.
But thank you for that history.
There is a cool fact I found, though. In 1808 in Allegheny, Pennsylvania, they sold half a barrel of whiskey or half a barrel of rye per man, woman, and child in the community. Wow. So they were, huge.
You know, I think both Maryland and Pennsylvania were the big rye distilling places.
Yes.
You probably can grow rye in those slightly cooler states better than you can in Kentucky. And corn was probably more appropriate for Kentucky.
Yes. And the flavor profile's just completely different too.
Yeah, it's a lot more spicy. And I'm just excited for this episode because I don't think we've ever done a rye episode. Just
we did. Strictly. It's called Three Blind Ryes. You were there.
Oh, we did. Yeah. Yeah.
He just didn't remember.
But, it's been a while. Yeah, that's okay. But I know that, as you guys are probably aware, Chuck and Brent, they're not really rye guys.
No.
I am, you know. And I initially wasn't. It's a lot more spicier than a bourbon. Yeah. And, you know, so I'm curious to see how these stand out today.
Now, I have to disagree. I am not a rye guy. I certainly am a bourbon guy. But I've become much more of a rye guy of late. I did have some choices on the shelf to choose from. And I don't think you can make a blanket statement. I've had some ryes that were sweeter than a lot of bourbons I've had. I think you just got to judge by the bottle and see what you got.
Yeah. And you know, what I find interesting, I think it was Corky Taylor that told us that as he gets older, he and his friends tend to go more to the rye side and less to the bourbon side.
I definitely have friends who will just raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm a rye guy. And Brian's one of them for sure.
Yeah. I think it's just because, you know, bourbon, especially wheated bourbon, is so sweet to me. And so is like sherry cask finish is very sweet. So a rye is just exceptional.
Yes, we still remember the rabbit hole episode.
Yes. Don't remind me of that, Chuck.
Just too sweet.
Well, so we have four ryes here today. And Brian, the first one that you brought is the Casey Jones, one of my favorites. I think per dollar, it's one of the best ones out there. We always talk about Casey Jones, and you guys don't believe us that we're not advertising for them, but we just really like their juice particularly, and we love the people down there. But this is a great one to start with. It was released this year sometime. It was in the summer, maybe?
Late spring, early summer.
Yeah, and for $50, you just can't beat this.
No,
rye.
You can't.
You know, I've enjoyed this on several different occasions. And rye is typically higher price than bourbon, so it's a great value.
I think the rye grain is more expensive relative to corn. It's a sweet nose.
It's got a good nose, and man, it follows up with a great taste.
I just absolutely love nosing rye. It's just completely different than a bourbon.
You know, sometimes I don't get a lot off the nose from a rye, and then sometimes, like this one, it just smells amazing. I guess the same thing goes for bourbon. I don't know.
I don't know if you guys do this as well, but when I'm tasting neat, I think I learned this at a distillery, I'll take just a tiny little taste and run it through my mouth a little bit and just kind of wake the mouth up, and the mouth said, oh, are we on?
Yeah.
Are we on the clock?
Right.
And then not, you know, seriously taste until the second taste.
I had an opportunity to do a tasting with Freddie Johnson.
Oh,
and,
nice.
He walked us through not to drink it at all. Just let it touch your lips, because when that whiskey touches your lips, automatically you lick your lips. And so it allows you to taste what the whiskey is going to taste like before having the burn and all that. So he was saying, for people who may not, like maybe somebody says, I'm not a rye guy. Well, here, just put it on your lip and see what it tastes like.
He leads a very deliberate tasting, and he's real big about nosing, not from both nostrils, but from the left and then the right. He says some days, you know, one nostril is working really well, and the other one may not be, and it could be different the next day. So,
and then days like today, mine, neither one are working well. So,
well, how about your taste buds? What do you get on there? It's not overly peppery. It's got a good spice. It's nicely balanced to me.
Yeah, I think this is a higher corn mash bill. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit sweet for a rye for me.
Which would make sense for Casey.
It would, yeah.
We've got to get you some 95.5 rye, don't we?
Some of those I enjoy, some of them I don't.
Me either.
I mean, they're either really good or really bad.
It's like, it depends on, I guess, it has to be where the rye is grown. That's the only thing I can come up with because, you know, I've had, and we've had 95.5s,
which is
all the time.
Typically associated with MGP.
And they are completely different. You can have a 95.5 one day that tastes sweet, and you can have one another day that'll just burn and taste like acetone. And I mean, it's.
You know, you're probably right. You're so much smarter than I am about this stuff. No. But I did hear AJ talk about the size of the grind on grains and how that can make a huge difference. And, you know, he was talking about some of the newer equipment that he has. I think he really was he, Chuck, you were there. Was he talking more about the moonshine at the time about grinding the corn? And he couldn't quite get the same
he taste. Yeah, he doesn't want a flour consistency. He wants a bit more grittiness. Mm-hmm. I don't know what he wants.
A larger granular piece.
He does. A lot of grain is run through a hammer mill, and it's just pulverized, and it's not meal. It's flour.
Right.
I realize that corn is meal, I guess you can have corn flour. Anyway, he wants it to be not quite so fine, and he did equate that to his grandfather not having as fine a.
Yeah, didn't have an opportunity to have a tool that could grind it to that level. So I think grain size after it's ground, and I'm sure location has something to do with it, but there are countless numbers of variations even within a line of grain. So,
and I don't even know, most of the bourbon's going to be made from number 2 yellow corn, and there's different producers. There's Pioneer and DeKalb and Beck's and so forth like that. So there could be some variation there. But I have no idea how many different kinds of rye are grown. Oh, yeah. So,
yeah, who knows?
And do they come from Canada? Is it American rye? I mean,
European.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. Very cool.
I don't know of anybody making an American rye out of all European rye, but I've certainly have heard some bourbon producers that are using some European rye, Northern European Germany or something like that.
Yep.
By the way, as I was looking on my shelf, I found a bottle of a slightly forgotten bottle. It came from Limestone Branch.
Oh, yes.
And it was an experimental bottle that I bought several years ago, and it's a small bottle.
Yep.
And it's 100% malted rye. My wife and I had a small taste of it, like it a lot. I didn't see any point in bringing something that no one's ever going to be able to find, probably, a malted rye.
It's
100%.
You're going to start seeing more and more of that malted rye.
So was it Jim sweeter?
It was pretty sweet.
Yep. Jim Beam is doing some experimental stuff with that.
Okay.
They've got a Basil Hayden malted rye out right now. So, and it's that malted rye, malted grain is going to make a push, I think, in the next 2 or 3 years in the industry.
Yeah, it's just amazing how the industry has evolved. You know, for 50 years, there was really no change in the market. I mean, there were some tweaks, you know, single barrel, small batch, and so forth. But the evolution of bourbon in the last 10 to 15 years has just
And then brings been enormous. Up the topic, is it going to, is the proverbial bourbon boom going to, or balloon, whatever, going to pop? And then is it going to stop? I don't see it. Like, because they are constantly finding ways to introduce more people to bourbon.
Well, you know, history says that there's going to be another clear liquid wave that comes along. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that happens. I mean, I hope so, because that'll be more for us, right?
Yeah,
we don't want any of the craft distilleries to go away. That would put a hurt on them pretty pretty significantly, I think. But boy, let's enjoy it while we have it, I guess.
Yeah, and I think we look at wine in the '80s, you know, when Napa Valley wasn't Napa Valley like it is today. And you know, the wine industry is so very strong in the US market. You know, you buy a bottle for $100,000 if you want. I don't think bourbon has that same glamour yet. So I think there's still room to grow.
So the Casey Jones, I think I find it to be a real mild rye.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Very drinkable, very nice, neat.
If you're new to rye, that might be a good choice.
Absolutely, 100%.
Excellent. And I think it'd be good on the rocks. I don't know if it's much of a would be a good traditional rye for a cocktail.
I don't think it would. Yeah, I agree. I don't think it has enough meat as I would call to stand up to mixing it. Yeah. Enjoy. Doesn't mean it's not great. Like,
yeah, it's terrific.
Exactly what Brent said. I would give that to somebody who says I'm not a rye guy. I'm giving them that one all day, and it's really, really good.
If you have someone who wants a rye Manhattan, maybe this is not the rye to use.
Yeah, save it for drinking it neater on the rocks, yes, man. All right. Well, very cool. What do we have next year?
So this one is a single barrel, 100% Michigan rye from Two James Distillery out of Detroit, Michigan. So the Evansville Bourbon Society did a pick, and I had a taste and said, I have to have a bottle of that. Wow. So absolutely delicious, 115 proof.
Where can you find this? You have this at Beverage Bar?
We have the Two James. Now, this is a single barrel pick, so it'll be... But we don't have this exact pick, but we have several of their other offerings. They do a gin. They do a barrel-aged gin. Their vodka's delicious. They have
you said a barrel-aged gin.
Oh, my
what
goodness.
What in the hell are you talking about?
Christmas. Think about, like, your Christmas flavors. In a bottle? 100%.
Is it a charred barrel or just a raw barrel?
It's used bourbon barrel.
Does it have color?
Okay. It does. It would... It's a little bit darker than, it's almost a yellow,
okay,
but golden color, absolutely delicious. I've had 3 or 4 different barrel-aged gins. Theirs ranks right up there to the top.
Wow. Once upon a time, I would have said no way, but since I had that Spirit of Limestone at Limestone Branch, which is using their Yellowstone and their gin in a single cocktail, and not just finish, but I mean, it's whiskey and it's gin and it makes a terrific cocktail.
I'm telling you,
I would try that.
If you want something to branch out in your flavor profile, find a barrel aged gin. You can just drink it on the rocks. You don't have to mix it or anything. You just sip it.
Now this one is very good, but very different.
Way different than what we just experienced.
Very different.
Because it is 100% rye.
Yeah.
You're going to get a lot more spice. This is going to be one that Brent is probably going to shake his head that he doesn't care much for.
Yeah. But it's very earthy.
It is earthy.
Yeah. It's a little sharper is the first thing I get.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of cuts you just a little bit, which is not a bad thing. It's good.
First thing I got was some cherry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. And I'm not complaining.
Michigan, huh?
So 100% Michigan rye.
I'm just curious. Michigan is a long way from the Evansville Bourbon Society. Did people travel up there?
They had 6 people go and cool. pick it.
Yep. Cool.
Do you know what the age statement on this is?
4 years.
4 years.
I'm almost 100% sure.
Okay.
So our rye is typically aged about the same length as bourbon?
Actually, they're normally aged less time.
That's why a lot of distillers start with ryes, right? Because you can crank them out pretty fast and get them out there.
That's what Hard Truth
Peerless did that.
They did that. They released a 2-year rye, and people were like, of course, I say people, me, other people who are, I wish they would have just waited 4 years to release it. And it was phenomenal. And Brian, the master distiller, will tell you, like, they wanted to wait an extra year, but it was ready. So they just let it go.
Yeah. Anyone who thought Kentucky Peerless was feeling desperate when they released that 2-year-old rye was sadly mistaken.
Right.
Yeah. I think it won top 25 whiskey, it was in the top 25.
I think it was
year.
Number 8, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Number 15. It was 15? Top 20. Okay. The first 2-year-old, and I'm going to say 2017. And I think it was Whiskey Advocate.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the only rye and the only craft distillery to rank in the top 20. Mm. And it was and is terrific. And then they went on to release a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old.
And they're still winning awards with it.
Yeah, they are.
This is delicious. This is very good. I was a little worried. I thought, oh, this might not be my thing, but it's pretty good.
Love the color of it too. It's dark. And it's still got some sweetness without barley and without corn. So it's a good homage to, you know, what just straight rye can do.
It's got sweetness, but it still has that pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Hey, Brian, do you have any idea how many, what the ratio is of bourbon to rye that you sell? Is it 10 to 1?
If I had to guess, I would say probably 6 to 1.
Okay.
5 to 6 to 1.
Really?
Yeah. I would say within the last 5 years, mm-hmm. that number is, you know, it was probably 3 to 1. It was probably 12 to 1, and now it's 5 to 6 to 1, just because of the popularity of rye. You know, it started off with everybody found out that Sazerac rye was Buffalo Trace product.
Yeah.
And then Angel's Envy rye was released, which I think is exceptional. One of my favorite ryes to sip on. So there's been several ryes that have come out. Peerless Rye came out, won those awards, and it just piqued people's interest. And then everybody dove straight in to rye. And now just about every distillery has a rye offering.
So is Sazerac your best-selling rye?
It was. It's not allocated anymore, so it's on every liquor store shelf.
Yeah, it's common.
Yeah, it's pretty common now.
It might be my least favorite, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
We love Buffalo Trace.
Actually, we did a blind of that, and that was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of my least favorite ryes.
Yeah, Bullet Rye is probably one of our best sellers.
I love that.
How about the MGP product?
Which I did not know until recently. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's right there on the label.
It says it.
Yeah. Lawrenceburg, Indiana.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't know what you guys think, but I think we don't have it here today, but Wilderness Trail Rye is pretty good.
It's good too.
I like everything from Wilderness Trail. I really do. I've not had a bad product yet.
Agreed.
They're single barrels. If you have a chance to if you find one on a shelf, buy it.
You know, we seem like we have a love-hate relationship with the Sazerac company.
Exactly. We're by Trace.
And Sazerac Rye does come out of Buffalo Trace in Frankfurt. They do have they're producing a little bit in New Orleans, but that mm-hmm. that Sazerac Rye is a Kentucky product. I just don't care for it. Curiously enough, at the Sazerac House in New Orleans, that's more of a cocktail experience than it is a straight whiskey experience. They serve their pre-mixed Sazerac cocktail.
Yeah.
Now, so there's Sazerac Rye, and then mm-hmm. there's a cocktail called the Sazerac. So they have a pre-mixed Sazerac cocktail that I'm assuming is made with their Sazerac rye.
Well, this
is the best Sazerac cocktail I've ever had.
So is it a can or a?
I've never seen it. I was only served it. I don't recall it being available in the gift shop.
That was my next question. Where can you get it? In New Orleans.
I'm looking at my liquor store guy right here. Yeah.
I doubt I can.
Yeah. Where can we get it?
You know,
right,
it's funny.
Road trip.
It's funny you say that because Brad Schneider, judge executive here in Henderson County, messaged me one day because he was at Angel's Envy and they had the Henderson.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was a mixed cocktail that you could get only there. And, you know, so I'm sure it's similar to that. You can't get it other than at the distillery or in that case, the Sazerac House.
Oh, man.
Widow Jane.
So we're looking at I reached for the next bottle to pour up so that we could do a transition, and I was going to be really slick about this transition. Then I saw the label. It says Widow Jane, and I thought, oh my God, I had a bad experience with this.
Tell a story, Chuck.
Well, my story is we were in Manhattan, and we were touring.
This is made in New York, right?
It is. Well, we're in Little Italy.
Yeah.
And I look up, and on a brick wall is painted a painted billboard for Widow's Jane. Well, you mentioned Brad Schneider. I took a picture of it and I texted it to him because he and his wife had been up to New York the winter before for a Billy Joel concert, and they had gone to a New York distillery, and he kind of raved about it. And I thought maybe this was it. So I was just saying, hey, I saw a billboard for your whiskey. Well, actually, the distillery he went to was on Broadway in Manhattan. Widow Jane is a Brooklyn distillery.
Okay.
But now I've got Widow Jane on the mind, and our wives had gone to see a Broadway show, and my buddy and I were going to picked them up. We stopped in a bar, and I saw Widow Jane, and I said, well, I've got to try some. And I liked it. Well, I bought a bottle, and it's almost empty, so yeah. Something happened.
Yeah. You're in a New York state of mind, is what you're saying.
Empire state of mind, for sure. So,
all right. Well, let's see what if there's a nose here.
I do like that Michigan rye.
Do you recall what this costs?
50 or 60?
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh, no.
I'm going
to
say
some of their stuff goes.
Some of their stuff's pretty
way off.
Super
premium. No. It might have been 75.
Why does it smell like charcoal?
Charcoal?
You mean like raw charcoal?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not sure if it's my mind deceiving me, but I smell apple is what I smell.
Well, it's got apple on the label there.
I saw that. I'm not sure if my mind's playing tricks on me or what.
So this is
it's one of those charcoal apples. This is,
yeah. Says it right there on the apple.
So to be sure, this is a finished rye.
Okay.
It's Widow Jane rye finished in a toasted apple finished with toasted apple wood. So yeah, I would. You might pick up some apple. I don't know about the charcoal. Of course, my man Brent's going to torpedo this one anyway.
No, I'm not. I'm totally open minded.
I'm with Brian. That apple is there.
Yeah.
Almost like an apple pie. There's some spice there, of course, because of the rye.
You know, it's good, but it's very unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brian's face. I don't know that you could play poker. You don't play poker, do you?
I don't play. No. That's why I don't play poker. I'd have to wear a mask if I played poker and sunglasses.
I like it. I would not use it for a cocktail. I simply would drink it as it is. Why not? It was the value wasn't bad, and that was a New York price, by the way.
Yeah,
I definitely did not spend $100.
Yeah.
Although I was in an Empire state of mind, so I've been wrong about prices before, if Aaron will recall. Okay. Okay. Oh, the bottle was $75. $75. $95.
I think I would really, really like that if the proof point was about 105.
I was going to say it tastes low. Is it
93? 90?
Okay.
So, not saying it's bad. This comes across as a scotch. It's got that low proof, that apple fruity flavor. There's not much burn there.
Yeah, I get very little burn.
A very polite little burn, like, you know.
So it's not a Kentucky hug, for sure. It's more like
New York
hug.
It's more like a New York, hug. I'm going to ignore you and just keep putting my head down and keep walking. All right.
It's different. I think it's fun.
Well, Chuck, I am glad that you like this. I like you so much that I'm going to let you have all of my share of Widow Jane products going forward. I don't dislike it. I just don't think there's much in that bottle.
Okay.
Now, it's completely different from the last Widow Jane I had, which was Rocket Fuel in a bottle.
Oh, wow.
And it was the bourbon, I'm pretty sure. So I do like this one better, and I could certainly drink that one. The Widow Jane I had before, I didn't even finish the glass. So,
can you get Widow Jane?
Yeah, we can.
I'm not sure how widely distributed it is.
The ones we have are more premium. They're 90 plus bucks.
Okay.
We'll get the 10-year.
10-year. Yeah, that's the one we sell the most.
There's a bottle out, Decadence or Decades or something like that from Widow Jane.
We just received that in, yeah.
And it's one of those that is highly sought after for whatever reason. I've never had it, never tasted it, but a lot of people, I say highly sought after, secondary market.
All that.
No, that's a different topic for a different day.
There you go. So the last one is the one I brought to the party today. It is the double oaked rye from Kentucky Peerless. My favorite, I've said this several times already today, my favorite go-to rye is the Kentucky Peerless small batch. I have a couple of bottles over there on the bar. I also have a couple of single barrel Kentucky Peerless Rye with different tasting notes. And then I just recently got this double oaked rye. I love their double oaked bourbon. It's fantastic. And I've never had this before, so this will be a new experience. It's compared to the other bottles, if you put them side by side, this is so much darker. I don't know how much wood you're going to get, but I've heard good things about it.
I was holding it up to the light, and it is that is a dark whiskey.
Kind of musty on the nose, or I may be nose blind at this point.
I get that.
Like
scotchy?
No.
Scotchy musky?
I'm thinking like age. Like, I don't know if it's walking in a rick house, the must that you, when you walk in that rick house and you take that first big breath of rick house air, that's the must. And it's a good thing.
That's a good description. This is 110 proof.
110. That's what I was going to ask, because it doesn't taste like 110 to me. It's a little softer than what I expected. I love the oaky flavor that you get here. This is a fantastic rye to me, but it almost, I mean, it feels more like a bourbon than it does. It feels like a high rye bourbon more than a rye. Did I pick the right bottle? Did I pull the wrong bottle off the shelf?
No, it's great. No, it has the best nose of the day.
It's double oak rye.
Double oak rye. Okay.
Well, I did suggest we try this last because I think it had the most potential for being a favorite.
I think Brian's going to like number two there the best. And I think I'm going to like the, oh gosh, man, it's hard between Peerless and Casey Jones for me, but this Peerless is pretty doggone good.
And you're right. It does not. It's 110 proof.
Right? It doesn't.
But I'm assuming you really enjoy this, Aaron?
Yeah.
He likes it, but he'd like it to be hotter, wouldn't you?
120, I'd be fine.
We need to find a new co-host here. Again, I'm the odd man out that I really don't. It's okay, in my opinion, but compared to the double oak bourbon.
Were you asking about if it's my favorite of the bunch?
No, just do you enjoy it? I mean, it's.
Yes, I can drink it.
Oh, I can.
I don't know that I would. This would be one that I would be happy to have a pour at a bar and let somebody else
pay for it.
Like, rent by the bottle, you know, because of the price point. I mean,
I think if we would have had this first, we would have all been singing its praises. Yep. And then as we go. That Michigan, what's the name of the one that Catcher's Rye. To me, that's probably the best one on this table, to be honest with you. It's the most rye-y, if you'll allow me a non-word. I don't know what else to say. I think this Peerless is fantastic. If we had it first, I think I would have had a different opinion about it.
Interesting.
But this is really pretty good. It's just mild.
Brian took I was getting ready to grab my water and pour some water in my glass to see what it did.
So
I proofed it down a little bit.
When I was talking with Corky Taylor about the 2-year-old rye that got such acclaim, he was mentioning that was a high corn rye.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, we're not talking 95% corn. We're talking, I'm not sure they release.
They don't.
But maybe it's a 25% corn, or maybe it's a 30% corn and a 55% rye and then some barley in there. Because he was talking about trying to make a rye that a bourbon drinker would like. So this, if you're looking for rye, this may not be your thing.
When you add water to it, it opens it up a lot.
It does. It's much more approachable, in my opinion, you know, when you add a drip of water or two.
You know what we're going to have to do, fellas? I've got 4 bottles sitting over there. We're going to have to do the small batch, the 2 single barrels, and this double oaked side by side. And see which one of those Kentucky Peerless products stands out.
I love
it. Because that small batch to me is so good.
So you're saying,
I mean, I'm going to whisper this.
Yeah.
I might like the small batch better than I like this double oaked. I'm not sure. I think I might. We're going to have to find out.
We will.
Future episode out. Right there. Okay,
this is weird. I added some water.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting celery.
So, okay. What'd you have for lunch?
That's what I was going to ask. Did you have celery for lunch?
Did not. I had
Bloody Mary for breakfast.
Had ham and Swiss on wheat, a half, and vegetable beef soup.
Wow. Mm. So I don't get celery, but I definitely get a different.
Something green.
Nose. Yeah.
It is green. Absolutely green. That's I just wonder where they get their rye from.
I don't remember.
I wish I knew the mash bill on this because it's not, I mean, it has to be at least 51% rye, but it's got some corn in it too.
Oh, I'm going to take a stab in the dark and say 60% rye, 30% corn, 10% malted barley.
I was 65. So yeah,
I'm not that good, but I'm
the more, no, you're better than you think you are. The more I knows this though, after adding water, the more I can get behind it.
Now, you know, we've said this 1,000 times. Corky did say he makes a rye for bourbon drinkers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So maybe that's where we are with the double oaked. I don't know. It's just different than what I expected. I do like it.
So do you find it to be at all woody?
It is woody. It's dry on the back.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
So you think about a dry wine, after you have a glass of dry wine, the
yeah,
dryness it leaves on your back of your throat. That's exactly what you get here.
Yeah,
from the extra wood.
Yeah, so that's why I added water because I thought it was too much wood.
Yep,
it was just extreme. So I added a drop of water and that toned it down enough to be more approachable.
And it's not woody because it's like a 15 or 20 year old age. This is probably a 4. I was looking for the age statement. I couldn't see it.
Yep. But so what they do is they take once they take it out of that barrel, they dump it in new. Barrel, and that's why it's so expensive because barrels are not cheap these days,
right?
With the bourbon surge, so they put in a new oak barrel.
So they take it from a new barrel and put it.
They put in another new barrel.
Yes,
is that double oak or is that Peerless? No.
Just Peerless, because Peerless did that by mistake because they had a barrel that they had to dump.
Yeah, it leaked, right?
It leaked, so they had to put it in a new barrel, and so they continue to do that today. I don't think everyone does that though.
So I have a bottle at home. I guess I bought it. Surely someone didn't just hand it to me at the Salvation Army.
maybe when you're out there at the Red Kettle, they...
You look cold, sir.
I've been offered something nice while ringing for the Salvation Army. Never quite that nice. Chemical hand warmers were nice one really cold day. So is this like maybe 125 price point?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right, so fellas, if you're going to spend your own money on these ryes, which one would you buy and which one would you not buy?
I did forget to mention the price of the single barrel.
Mm-hmm.
It's $59.99.
I'd buy that all day long.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you just stole the show.
Serious?
That's a pick.
Yep.
I would buy the first
the shelf price, $59.99.
I'm amazed.
Yeah.
Dollar for dollar.
Hands down.
I'm not going to leave Casey Jones off the table. I'm going to buy both those first two.
Absolutely.
All day long. The other two, well, Widow Jane, I'm not going to spend my money on ever.
Coming back to the Widow Jane, just very quickly, while you were introducing the Peerless.
Expousing.
The finish after it sat on my tongue was the apple from the applewood. It felt like apple juice. Like you could, and you can go back and watch. I was over here chewing my jaws, but you could really get that apple profile. So if that's something that you like, you would love it.
Well, there you go, Brian. What do you think, buddy? Which one would you spend money on? Any of them?
I would say all of them. I mean, the Peerless would probably be my last one I'd buy, just because of the price point. I really enjoy it when I add it. A little bit of water, but the Widow Jane surprised me. It really did. Cause I've had the 10 year and for the price point, I did not enjoy it. Yeah, or I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't be willing to pay that.
Yeah.
But the Casey Jones, of course, I knew that was going to be great. The Catcher's Rye I've had before. I knew what I was walking into, but it surprised me again. It's very good.
I'm astonished.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dollar for dollar. The Catcher's Rye is my winner today, and I'd buy any of them. I would enjoy all of them.
Yeah.
But you know, in today's market, it's nice to find a good value. Casey Jones, good value.
Mm-hmm.
That Catcher's Rye from Two James
Distillery.
Wow. I will be keeping my eye out for that.
All right. Aaron, what about you, buddy?
Two, James. Even though I brought it, but I absolutely love that. It's everything that you would expect from a rye. It's dark. It hugs you. It's earthy. It's great.
It is great, and they're all very good. We appreciate you guys listening. By the way, help us out here. If you're listening on the audio-only podcast, flip on over to YouTube. Look us up at the Distilled Bourbon Podcast. Smash that like button, even if you don't listen to the whole episode on YouTube. We really could use a little help with the SEO and get us out there and so other people can enjoy this. It helps with the algorithms. And if you'd like to subscribe, fantastic. But thank you very much for listening. And with that said, please drink responsibly.